They say everyone has a book inside them, and often that's where it should stay. I really can't help but be aghast that the author wants you to pay. But we're just a pair of absolute bookends, you don't want to be like us. So if you want to read, pick some quality literature rather than this dross.
Hello, welcome to Two Absolute Bookends, where we read books so bad you should burn them before reading. This is episode 36, and with me here this week, pumping himself every harvest cycle, is Louis.
Hello.
This time, we're reading chapter 25 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Support the author and all that jazz. So, what I find funny is how last week we were, you know, we were pretty positive. We were talking about how we were quite impressed by the writing.
And then there's this chapter.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose one good thing you can say about it is, even by the standard of this book, it's very short.
Yes.
It's obscenely short.
I've noticed that, actually, we're in the last stretch now, and there's about... I think there's 30 chapters in total, and this is chapter 25.
Yeah.
They're all pretty short, actually, from now on. I don't know if just the writer lost steam, or...
I guess we'll have to see. See what the content of them's like. But I think this might actually be the shortest chapter in the book. I mean, you know, I haven't yet been autistic enough to go through and check, but it must be up there.
That's not saying you won't do that.
Yeah, I'll rank them when we're done. I'll rank the chapters in length for the final post-mortem episode. Man, I need to find a list of autistic things like that to do for the final episode of this. But yeah, this... This one, you know, just my opinion, but wasn't a great time. I mean, how do I even describe what happened in this episode? We join the Rakari back in their universe. Tona and the Queen chat a bit about milking Jack. And then Tona gets sent off with a Rakari high fleet into Jack's timeline to try and take over that universe. And that's it. Like, yeah.
But it's also, I think this chapter might be one of the worst chapters I've read.
Like, there are some bad bits, yeah.
It's horrendous. And it's not only bad in terms of, like, not knowing what the fuck is going on, but also just how it's written. Like, it's got a, like you said, like, even for the standards of this book, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I say it's so weird, because, you know, it was just funny because we were literally talking about the last chapter having, like, some actual literary merit and potential for a change. Then just into this, which was a fucking dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts out with, like, a sentence which makes absolutely no sense. And just sort of, like, throws you into it. Like, so it starts with, "My queen, we have substantial... established a force with the remaining seed we had remaining." That's the first sentence.
Yeah, that's to ease you into back to the Rakari way of life.
"We have substantial established a force with the remaining seed we had remaining." So many questions about that one sentence.
Basically, I think he's got his mucking words fuddled, and that's meant to be, "We have established a substantial force with the remaining seed we have," or I don't know why he repeated "remaining" twice.
Yeah,
so "remaining" that, seed we had remaining.
That bit's that's ridiculous.
That's a bit of a tautology there, a little bit of a redundancy.
It's like, how would you not pick that up reading it, or like writing it, or editing it?
I mean, yeah, I think you've answered it. That's the thing. I've written a little, like, not written, I don't think, any creative writing since I was in, like, secondary school. But, you know, I've had to write lots of reports and other shit like that. And, you know, it's quite easy to realise that you've written something stupid when you're reading it back over. It is surprisingly easy just in kind of, like, the flow of just your mind, just to be writing down what you think is right. Then you read it back and you're like, "That's fucking stupid." And, you know, and then you edit it to be actually right. But just clearly, he's never gone back and actually tried reading any of this.
And also, I found it weird that "seed," at least in my book, is capital S. So it makes me think that like, because we've been so far removed from the Rikari for so long, like, I just sort of...
Well, not that long.
Well, not really. That long,
a couple
but...
of chapters. It just feels long for us because we've been bad.
Yeah. But it just got me thinking of, like, what is this seed? Like, why... is it... It must be something important because it's capitalized. Is it, like, a thing? I don't know. It just... This sentence really just threw me off. Like, what is going on already?
I mean, the seed is clearly just, like, any living thing's genetic code. Or,
yeah.
And possibly semen.
Yeah.
That's kind of implied later on.
Well, there was another bit later on we'll get onto where...
Yeah.
Where it was, like, a case of capitalization that confused me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that we realise that we can't really read too much into any capitalization in this book. That is a fool's errand, sir. I do want to say, the byline for this one, from the eyes of the beast, the prey licks its wounds. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, I'm thinking, is it like the beast is like the... As the... From the beast's point of view, it can see the prey licking its wounds.
Maybe. What I was thinking was that he kind of mixed his metaphors, and he was going for from the lair of the beast, the prey licks its wounds, and it's talking about like the Rikari recovering after getting their fleet kind of a little bit wrecked by the tranquility. But even that's weird. I just don't know. I just read it and it's like, what? What's happening? I don't know. I just wanted to point it out because it confused me.
But yeah, the first paragraph just carries on in like a confusing way, because from what I can tell, none of this has been talked about before. It basically says that, you know, let's create a foothold around the wormhole's surrounding systems and harvest minor seed from the populations of the imperial planets. What's minor seed?
I mean, I guess any seed that isn't Jax, as he is the Ubermensch, if you will recall.
Ah, yes.
Remember? That was when we, a few chapters ago, when we first learned about seed, and then wanting to harvest it from Jack.
Okay.
For some reason. For some reason that is never adequately explained, Jack's seed is the best. He is what they want to use to make their army. For some reason. I don't know why. But apparently other seed is an acceptable substitute for the time being.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then this is that bit which confused me about... with the capitalization where it said... it has been 5 cycles for us since the Prime, Captain Jack Hunter, left our domain. Like... So that's really, it's a really weird, it doesn't sound weird, like since the Prime Captain Jack Hunter, but Prime is capital P, and then there's a comma, and then Captain Jack Hunter, and then, yeah. Like, obviously it's meant to read as, you know, the Prime Captain Jack Hunter, but it's like, the Prime. When I first read it, I thought, it's been 5 cycles since the Prime? What is the Prime? Was it like some event?
Yeah, like it doesn't immediately... I see what you mean, like it being capitalized does make it feel more like, yeah,
yeah,
a thing. It doesn't immediately feel like when you're reading it on the page that it's meant to lead into being, it's Jack.
He is pretty prime though.
Yeah, like, so the Rikari have been sitting around in their universe for 5 years since everyone else left it.
Seems indecisive.
Yeah, and it took them a while, I guess, and...
Wait, so they've just been on the other side of the wormhole for 5 years?
Yep.
Like, and they haven't moved on?
I guess they've been building up this fleet, I guess.
For 5 years?
Yeah, for 5 years. I mean, what have you gotten done in the last 5 years? You haven't built an alien fleet.
I guess
so.
Who
are you to judge? But yeah, like, and...
What would the Romans have done?
I don't know. Probably killed a loads of druids and thrown up in a basket. Fucking Romans.
But when I throw up in a basket...
Yes?
I don't know. People just don't like it.
It's like, Louis, please, that's not what the basket's for. Every time we show you a basket. But yeah, like, and, oh, just... I have more I want to say about the fact that they've been in here for 5 years, but it kind of becomes more relevant later on when we find out how much time's passed on the other side, so I'll leave it for now. And so, what's happening? So she's sitting on a big old chair, because I guess why not, with tendrils scattering down from it, mixing Jack's DNA that had been held inside Tona since their lovemaking.
Yeah. After their lovemaking.
Yep. Yeah, so,
Later, the DNA was cloned until flaws appeared in the genetic code and creation of the soldiers had to be halted. Like, I didn't even... Have I just been dense and I didn't realise they were building soldiers? I've just forgotten.
I think you've just forgotten. Because, yeah, like... I mean, obviously, like, remember all the times that the Rikari have... Yeah, like, in the first attacks on the ship and stuff, it was like... Oh, they've, like, killed all of our men and converted them into Rikari, basically.
Yeah.
That's where they get, like, the biomass. Like, now, like, what I find a little weird is that early on, I got the impression that they were just kind of, like I said a second ago, just growing them from the biomass. Like, you know, they killed people, they had a load of meat, which they basically remade into the Rikari. Like, I didn't think that DNA had anything to do with it until... You know, just now, or I guess when they mentioned his seed a couple of chapters ago.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I was concerned, the earlier interpretations of what they're doing, that didn't seem to matter. It seemed to just be the biological matter thing. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me taking too much of other aliens that the Rikari are clearly ripping off into my interpretation of what they did.
Also, what kind of like haphazard organization do they have here where there's just like DNA on the ground?
It says they're into the ground, so maybe they're like saying that there are like vats of DNA like in tanks in the room below that the tendrils are going into. I mean, I'm not sure quite what's going on. I don't know quite what's happening though. So there are tendrils into her chair that are sucking up DNA. Then what's happening? Is she like physically attached to the chair that's sending the DNA into her so she can make babies? Like, is this kind of like an alien queen situation where she's literally giving birth to Rikari or something?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea, because
me neither, because she was like wandering around bitch slapping people a few chapters ago and there were Rikari everywhere. That's, yeah. I literally don't know.
Also, I wonder what these flaws are in the genetic code. One of them turned out as Hollister.
Oh, please. That's like the best mutation ever, yeah. Turning from Jack into Hollister. You know, that's that's like the first person born with thumbs, you know. That's like Brave New World.
I really liked this part where it talked about how... what their sort of living conditions were like, the Rikari.
Yeah.
For some reason, it was just really funny to me. I like the bit where it's like, for an insect-like species, the Rikari really knew how to surround themselves in comfort. The soldier forms had a small egg-like cubicle where they spent, where they slept until they were released for battle. I like the idea that it's a cubicle. I just kept picturing like an office,
just with loads of Rikari curled up at their desks, yeah. Like Japanese salarymen, just asleep. Yeah, I'd have. Like, it's... I'm still weirded out by how human the people, Tona and the Queen are.
Yeah.
If you get me.
When we've had them described, when we had those, like, things described that were attacking them before, it was like a more like an insect-type thing.
Yeah.
And now they're suddenly, like, humanized form, because it's useful for the story.
It's far easier to characterize a bad guy when they have like when they act like that.
When they've got like a face and a body like ours, Simmer. Well, like, you know what I mean.
But no, it's so weird. Like he's even like pointed out. It's like it's weird for like these weird galaxy-eating insects to have a fancy room.
Yeah.
But here we are. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, they've got to have, like, I don't know, even just having, like, doors as humans have. Like, why? Yeah, why would like, this species have the things that we
and
have?
And that's the thing, like, is there more to this that we don't see? Like, Because here it says, the upper echelons of Rikari society were independent of the hive mind. Is that just Tona and the Queen? is there any other... We don't see any other examples of things high up in Rikari society.
Yeah.
We see, like, the insects that are just crazy and just throw themselves at Jack and his marines. And then you see these two. That's all we ever see.
Yeah, basically.
We've never seen an example of another high-ranking Rikari independent of the hive mind.
Yeah, and like before Tona, it must have just been her, because Tona went straight to the top of like...
Yeah, she's big... she's going to be the next queen. She's like the heir.
Well, yeah, she's the queen's daughter, apparently.
Apparently. Don't ask me how that works.
Yeah, how does that work? Because Tona... Tona was just like, she got bitten by that first thing that she recovered.
Yeah.
So now she's the daughter?
Well, I think it might be in a roundabout way that the thing might have been being controlled by the Queen. Like, yeah. From afar, or and apparently through 50 or 10,000 years. And that's how, because... I don't know, though. I repeat, I don't know how that works. That's weird. Maybe she's an adopted daughter, like a Japanese guy.
I like how vague it is, though, about how the hive mind works. Like, it says, although still connected to the hive mind, this is talking about the higher echelons.
Yeah.
Although still connected, they could think for themselves and not totally controlled by it. Okay, great.
Okay, then. That's nice. I'm
guessing this is basically saying... Yeah, they're connected to the hive mind, but when the plot needs it them to not be, we're going to make it so they don't have to be, probably.
Probably. It's just... I think it's more just a way to explain them having Rikari that have a personality and just kind of hand-wave it. Just, oh, they're connected to the hive mind, so, like, they can talk to each other, but they're not just controlled by it. They have independence for some reason.
Only the Queen has the power to control the hive mind, and she's teaching Tona to do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For when she takes over the Rikari, which apparently she's going to do now. Yeah, and then they've got a holographic image of the Tranquility. Like, I know, and again, that seems weird in, like, this...
Insect-like ship where it's literally made out of, like, insect skin. They've also
the
technology
projectors.
Yeah. it's like just too. It's like crossed over the worlds of like. Yeah, it's not something that I would have imagined them having. Basically.
Yeah, like I mean, kind of guess why not? When you're at the point of growing spaceship beetles, why not grow hologram projector beetles? But it's still just. It's kind of like if you have this hive mind. Everyone can just see this.
Yeah, why do they need a projection?
You know, all of this information is literally in the hive mind, so they all just know it and can access it, like, in their minds, like, perfectly, if I'm understanding how the hive mind's meant to work. So why do they need a hologram projector to show it to each other and go, yes, nice ship. I like it. Emitted from somewhere in the ceiling.
And also, yeah, you make a good point as well, is that from what we can tell, the only people in this, like, main room or whatever is the Queen and Tona. Mm. Like, you know, at least in the Tranquility, when there's, like, a projection in the room, it was, like, in the bridge where you can imagine, like, all of the crew, like, looking at it. But in this, what's...
And also in Jack's room, for some reason. He also just had a hologram projector of his ship.
That's
just
true,
to look
actually.
At spinning round and round.
Yeah. This is the ship I'm on. There's
Sometimes
me.
I forget. I'm here. By this porthole.
The pies are here.
This way I can plan my day so that I'm never more than 10 minutes away from pie.
But yeah, apparently it's just the ship spinning with, like, systems being highlighted and sort of reports on the damage that the battleship had taken.
Mm.
And then, like, we get an image of the staff of the ship. Again, like, why? Jack Hollister and all the bridge crew. They're the major staff, apparently.
Tona did more than try to breed when she was on the Tranquility.
Yeah, I don't really get this. Like, When Tona... So, it says that she downloaded everything from the ship's drives into her own mind and took it down to the Queen. Did I miss this?
I'm pretty sure that doesn't get mentioned in the chapters or any other chapter up until now that
so,
she did that.
But what does that even mean? She downloaded everything from the ship's drives.
I don't know.
What's the ship's drives?
I mean, I guess the ship has to store all of its crew data on some kind of service or drive, you know? It's got to be somewhere.
But, like, why does she do that?
And I don't know.
And how can you download something into your mind? Just like, okay.
I mean, it raises questions. I'm not going to disagree with you.
I don't like that she tried to do more than just breed. I thought that's all she was good for. That's why Jack got her.
Triggered. She's more than just a red-headed fuck buddy.
Yeah. That's why yeah, he made her a head scientist.
Head scientist, am I right?
Nice.
But yeah, like, I also don't know when... when she would have gotten the opportunity to download all of this. She was, like, in the medical bay or whatever when she turned and then just started taking over the ship. Like, I mean, I would have thought that access to all of the crew's data would only be available from, like, the bridge or maybe, like, the captain's office or something. I would have thought that would have been kind of locked down. I guess not. I guess she just has it. It's in her mind. And somehow she can not only upload information directly to her mind, she can download it as well.
Yeah.
Onto a floppy disk that she hands over to Queen Vulcina.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting my timelines mixed up here, but it says that the Rikari knows every strength and weakness of the battleship and knows where to hit it. Didn't they, like, fail to kill it?
Oh yeah, they failed miserably in the last two chapters ago.
It's a great help it was to know every strength and weakness.
Maybe Tona didn't tell them until, you know, like
maybe
a year ago.
Yeah, maybe they're just now downloading the data.
Yeah, Tona's just thought,
four years later.
A great idea. Yeah, because, wait.
Would it have been useful, guys, if I told you the weaknesses of the
all
ship?
All the strengths and weaknesses of both the ship and its crew. Yeah, actually.
We lost so many men.
We've had to spend 5 years, like, laying enough eggs to be able to conquer the universe.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Tona! But yeah, like, wait a second, I gotta check this. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, that's right. Back in chapter 20, I think, Tona says that she arrived in this world 6 years ago before Jack arrived to do his, like, smash and grab to rescue her. So she'd already been there for 6 years before Jack came through after them, and it's now 5 years after that. So already Tona's been in this, on this world for 11 years. And apparently in those 6 years, she didn't tell them this information.
Yep, she's done fuck all for 11 years.
Good times.
Just her and the Queen are just sitting there like, so, this is boring.
Yeah, I liked it when Jack was here. That added some excitement halfway through the 11
years.
They're
just like, remember when Jack was here? Yeah.
Now what do I flick my alien bean to?
They're just like, Jack's great, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the prime. He has the best seed. I like that about him.
And then we get to the pumping part of this chapter. Where Tona, I guess, is saying this.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. Pretty sure.
It's actually not. It never actually says. But one of them is saying...
I mean, I'm guessing so. I'm pretty sure it's Tona, but you're right, it's never explicitly said anywhere.
She says, "Watch out, Jack, we are coming, and you are not getting away this time. I am going to harvest your seed myself and keep you alive. No need for cloning the seed. I will personally pump you of it every harvest..." every harvest cycle. She spoke to Jack's image as it rotated in the air. I never realised how funny that image is. Jack just, like, smiling, rotating.
I was like... I'm just imagining him in just, like, a... like a derpy T pose, like a like a mortal in a video game that hasn't been given an animation, just rotating with a smile on his face.
She's like
like a helicopter.
What, the default pose?
Yeah. Damn you, Jack.
He's, yeah, I'll get you. He's just stand, like smiling like...
That's like completely vacant and rotating on the spot.
What oh, are Jesus you thinking, Christ. Jack? What are you planning?
I know you're up to something good. Oh, dear. So... what would you say the average human male harvest cycle is, Louis?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm guessing it means the queen has, like, harvest cycles. Or, like, however they're producing these...
I thought they meant Jack's seeds harvest cycle, though.
But what does that even mean?
I don't know.
I thought it meant that they will pump him every time they need it, which will be their harvest cycle.
I mean, that's also possible.
Pump. Pump, pump. She'll yeah, personally do it. That sounds inefficient.
It does. Like, don't. Like, can't they, like, grow another beetle to pump him automatically?
What a sad life for that beetle. This is your job.
Oh, God. Oh, pump. God. I'm just picturing the, like, the most horrific fleshlight ever. Just like. It's just like a beetle that just wants to die. What is my fucking life?
This is like death by Snoo Snoo. Jack just like doing that thing where he's like smiling and like also horrified.
I don't think this has quite the same amount of merits as death by Snoo Snoo.
I just love that. She spoke to Jack's image.
I didn't notice it was spinning either.
Yeah, you're out there somewhere.
Oh dear.
And it's got all of his genetic markers and his appearance scrolling down the side. I didn't get what that meant. Oh, I guess it means like height, like basically attributes about him.
Yeah, I guess so. Blue eyes. Spins.
Loves quam pie. In interests, quam pie.
Quam pie, leather chairs, redheads.
Dislikes?
What doesn't Jack like?
Hollister being himself.
Vargas's fat ass.
Yeah.
Being sent to an alternate universe.
It's for, like, likes. Ilmarian metal music.
Soft Ilmarian yeah. metal music, remember? That regular Ilmarian metal's too harsh, Louis. Yeah, too harsh for his virgin ears.
Fucking hell. And then we get a glimpse of what the fleet is that the Ricari have been gathering over the last 11 years. These organic vessels... They sort of, like, fly together and sort of become... They, like, interlock, apparently, and create larger ships.
Yeah, it's like a Voltron, but made of cockroaches.
Yeah, so it says fighters become frigates, frigates become cruisers, cruisers become battleships, and battleships become capital ships. Also, I think I might have mentioned this before. I used to play a game called EVE Online.
Yes.
And...
You did.
I think I've probably mentioned it before, but I have noticed a few similarities in this book with, like, some of the things in EVE Online. But, like, I mean, it's probably similarities because that's how it is, but, like, in EVE, the ships are, like, fighters, frigates, cruisers, battleships, and capital ships. Like, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's quite how it maps for naval vessels. Like, definitely some of that's true in the hierarchy. Not sure about all of it, though.
I just noticed that there are some similarities, and I just wondered how much, like, whether the author plays games like that, and, like, has basically taken some of the ideas from it.
You're saying this is a retelling of the author's Eve adventures, Lou?
Yeah.
How much of this can happen in Eve?
Well, there was that, like, fuck buddy expansion. And there was that weird mission where you had to pump seed out of a man.
Interesting.
Maybe might I have to start playing
Eve. I'm trying to imagine why the ships are doing this. Because I don't see how this is helping do anything. Just getting a load of tiny ships just to, like, slam together.
Yeah, makes it look cool.
Like, because it's, you know, it's not like that's going to suddenly make them powerful. You know, it's not like their guns are suddenly going to transform into something 10 times its size. It's just a load of tiny ships latched together. Like, maybe they need a certain amount of, I don't know, mass to travel through the wormhole safely or something. That's, like, the only reason I can think of to do this. Even then, it's like, aren't the bugs in the middle, the bug ships in the middle, just going to be totally fucking wrecked by this?
Yeah, like, we can't see anything.
It's just,
this is a terrible idea.
I just would have thought they would have been under, like, so much force and pressure and shit. Because, I mean, like, what's happening? Like, are these literally just, like, a batch of fucking 1,000 mini bug ships just hanging off of each other? Or now they've attached, have they, like, started to kind of, like, remake themselves into a bigger ship? Because, I mean, like, clearly the Rakari have, like, this kind of biotechnology.
Yeah, what's the benefit? Because the reason you have a fleet which is diverse and you have, like, frigates and cruisers is because, you know, frigates, smaller ships are good at doing things that bigger ships aren't, and bigger ships are, you know, each has their own advantage and disadvantage, so you want to bring, like, a wide range. How is just scaling all, because if it's as described where, like, all of their frigates become cruisers and their cruisers become whatever, You're not really, like, changing anything.
You don't have any fighters left.
Yeah, exactly. You're not changing anything. You're just, like, shifting what you have in your fleet. Like, yeah. But, like, all at the same rate. So you're just like, okay, we used to have 10 cruisers, but now we've got 10 battleships.
Well, probably one battleship, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But then you've got no cruisers. But then you've got cruisers that are built up from the things below, and it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah, like it even says that by getting bigger this way, it doesn't necessarily mean they have the capabilities of a conventional ship that size. Like, yeah, I literally don't know why they're doing this. I don't think it's ever explained why they all flock together like this.
Yeah, because maybe they could do some cool things in battles where, like, I don't know, if a missile came towards them, they might be able to, like, unlock and, like, let the missile miss them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then relock. Yeah. That would be cool, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what happens. Probably not that.
We're probably never going to have a mention of the fact that their ships are, like, locked together smaller ships ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly spoilers. It's been so long I can't remember if that's the case or not, but just throwing that out there at a... as a spicy line.
But yeah, it then talks about how the ships actually look. I like the fact that it just says, like, even though they were controlled much like starships, they were very much like insects. I don't know any insects that look like this, by the way. Like, very much like insects. But yeah, instead of hulls, they have armoured skin. Basically, they're just like ships, but they've got, like, alien skin instead of armor.
Metal, yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the main difference. There's also this, like, out of their exhaust is like bioplasma? Or am I thinking of another part? Yeah, organically generated plasma.
Yeah.
Which is, there's probably some, like, I don't know, how?
Yeah, like what is creating this bioplasma? So it's like these barriers were generated from the creature's bioenergy. byproduct of the creature's expulsion of bioplasma for its engines. What is creating this bioplasma that's apparently doing everything?
I think it's just like what they... It's like their waste.
But I think, like, if these ships are alive, they have to be getting this energy from somewhere, like, you know... Like in the same
are they
way
alive?
I believe so. It says they're much like creatures. I mean, like I'm not sure that they're alive in the fact that they're sentient, but I got the impression that they're alive to the degree that they were, like, yeah, like I, that was what I
thought. I thought they were just built, they just had, like, skin put on them. They're not, like, I thought it was a vessel that just had skin armour.
Says they were much like creatures themselves.
Mm.
That's what I'm getting that from. And to be honest, I again might be drawing too much from other things because I know that the creatures these are clearly based on from Warhammer 40K have ships that are like living creatures,
right?
As well. So again, I might be pulling too much in from the obvious inspiration from these, but I always just assume these things were alive after a fashion as well. But even if they're not alive, what is creating this bioplasma still, though? It's like, it's got to be something. It's got to be some kind of resource. They can't just burn it off forever, surely. I don't know. It's all too poorly explained, and I'm thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any answers to any of this.
And apparently in this Rikari fleet there are thousands, by the way, of transport vessels, mini hives in themselves. These ships carry the Rikari soldier forms that were not part of the fleet's normal crews. Okay, so the transport vessels transporting troops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thousands of transport vessels, so...
They've had 5 years, Louis.
Yeah.
She's been breeding a lot.
I'm just interested in the size of this fleet, basically.
Yeah, it's big.
Like, if you've got thousands of transport vessels, they must have a lot of other ships.
Yeah. You'd imagine that they'd have more ships than transport vessels so that they could guard them in a, like, a space action.
Hmm.
You know, that's drawing too much from... other real world sources, but like generally, like, you know, in a fleet, troop transports would be a smallish part of it, so that you could actually guard them if you ended up in any kind of naval engagement, so they didn't all just get fucking blown up.
It says they flew in a large arrowhead formation with the biggest vessel at the head, the flagship. Is that wise? Is that how it should be? To have your flagship at the front?
Probably not. And also, I'm imagining like a 2D arrow again.
Yeah.
Just like on the flats.
So am I.
Just based off of previous experience, I suppose. But yeah, just... Space is three dimensions.
Yeah, and it again makes us... We only know that Tona and... the Rikari Hive Queen are like the two people in the flagship. It seems like the flagship is basically just those two.
I was actually under the impression that they left the Queen behind on the planet and this is all just Tona on the ship.
Oh, okay.
Like I thought that earlier on when they were chatting that was back on the planet.
Oh, yeah, I misread it. It says that Tona sat on a throne similar to the Rikari Hive Queen. I thought it was like sat on a throne with.
Yeah, just like sitting in her lap. Hello.
It's never actually said, though, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, like, I don't know if it actually says where they were at the beginning. I always assumed they were just on the planet, and then at this part where it starts talking about in orbit, because, like, because of the fact that it says in orbit and starts describing all of this, I assumed that meant that they weren't in orbit themselves to begin with. They were like, this was happening, now up here, all of this is happening, and then Tona goes up to join them. If you follow me. Uh-huh. But who knows?
And, yeah, they're basically... She orders the light vessels to traverse the wormhole and engage human ships on the other side. And then she says another speech to Jack. Well, Jack, I hope you are ready because... I didn't even realise that it actually says, I hope you are ready. Become, I am coming. Like, I think I didn't even when you read either. It, I just
read it what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, so obviously it's supposed to be because I'm coming, but become I am coming, and I'm going to drain you dry. Tona spoke out into thin air and began to laugh. I like that. I find that weird because, like, using the term thin air is usually like something like when it like evaporated into thin air or something. I don't. It's not. It doesn't really work in this context. Like, spoke out into thin air.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's just weird. Also, why is she saying? Who actually speaks out loud? Surely this is just like an internal monologue, or should be anyway.
Yeah, she's like on a ship full of like mindless insects. She's just there on her own in her room, like yelling and laughing to herself. And yeah, so just want to point out, it says that they go through the wormhole, appear 10,000 cycles later. Well, 10,000 cycles in 3 months. It had been 3 months since the retreat of the Tranquility. So, to close off this chapter, let's just go on another quick journey back to how fucked up the time travel is, as I like to do. So, they've been inside here for 5 years, and 3 months have passed on the outside. Jack, at the beginning, was following straight behind Tona. You know, he could have been like an hour behind following her into the wormhole. 6 years had passed inside. Somehow, in the time that, you know, he was inside, did his smash and grab and then escaped empty-handed, Tiberius had time to float in, find that the insurrectionist fleet had been destroyed by a Rakari fleet, which is never mentioned again, the fact that there's a Rakari fleet on that side of the wormhole. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it got destroyed by a Rakari fleet, and he had time just to float through and go, huh, what happened here, and fight one Rakari ship, then come through, and, you know, apparently that sounds like, at the very least, hours of stuff happening, and, like, 30 minutes, an hour had passed inside the wormhole that time, by the time he came through. And they both come out, and now this. And also, I want to point out that it says 10,000 cycles later. When they first go through the wormhole, apparently the stars were 50,000 light years out of alignment. So, I just don't know.
So basically none of it is consistent.
Yeah, like, the rules aren't consistent, the actual numbers involved aren't consistent, nothing about the time travel side of the plot makes any sense, and in me, I'm not even going to attempt to, because if the author isn't going to, well, fuck that I'm going to try, because I don't think it's possible without rewriting the story for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck the time travel in this book, because of all the ideas in this book that we have, you know, we've voiced powerful opinions on, you know, it's some strongly worded opinions on the direction he's taken. I think including this time travel plot was the worst one. It fucks up so much.
It's also such a big part of the story as well. Like, it's
the fact that this time travel thing is here basically allows this entire Rakari plot to happen, you know, at this point. Like, there's the section that's the Rakari, like, acting like Alien from the Aliens films on the ships. Then it escapes, and now it's moved from, like, a ship-level alien threat to now a Galactic Empire alien threat. And the only reason that can happen is because of the time travel bullshit, basically. And so, yeah, it's entirely integral to the entire thrust of the plot from the second it's introduced. But it was just an awful idea. Like, it just shouldn't have happened. It should have ended when they beat the Rakari. Like, I think that the plot was too busy to introduce the Rakari in the first place. But if they were going to, it should have just ended, you know, when he killed the last one, or when, or, you know, Tona escapes and he has to blast her out of the sky with a tear in his eye or some shit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it should have ended. It shouldn't have. This entire plot shouldn't. Part of the plot shouldn't exist. It just has made everything so messy and fucking spastic. like I say, this is, like, I'm pretty sure I remember back when they first jumped through the wormhole, where I was like, and this is where the story really jumps the fucking shark and stops making sense. And it's true. Like, up until this point, hell of a lot of problems, but things did kind of follow on and make sense with a few exceptions, like how, like, the entire wormhole thing itself fucking transforming them. But, you know, in sort of, like, bullet points, it was still a plot that kind of followed and made sense. It wasn't well written, but it kind of made sense. Now it just doesn't. Now it's just all over the fucking place. Yeah. God, I have to get that off my chest every fucking week that we're in the time travel chapters.
Yeah, that's quite a rant.
Yeah. Like I said, it's where it goes wrong. You know, there wasn't much right to begin with, but this is where it goes objectively just fucked up. Anyway, any final comments on the chapter? I can't believe we spent so long talking about five fucking pages. And that's in my one. It was like three in yours.
In mine, it was two and a quarter, and one of those two had like the, you know, chapter title.
Yeah.
So I'd say more likely just two pages.
This level of detail was almost more like an Eye of Argon chapter. We talked about everything, no matter how fucking pointless. So, you done?
Yep, I think that's everything for this chapter.
Nothing else to say about this shit show.
Yeah, it was just a disaster.
Yeah, like I say, like man, we were... There really was a germ of potential in the writing last week. Like I didn't see it because I'm, like, cold and, like, kind of pre-programmed to hate this now. Like, I just going into it. But when you pointed out, you were right. There was some actual literary merit in last chapter. But this one was just... Oh, Jesus Christ. Everything was so bad. Oh, yeah. Before we're off, we've got some bad news. Chucklevision is off again this week. Paul and Barry are trapped to bed. They've been laid low with the summer sickness. No chuckles or smirks for us. I suppose the Ricari are not a very jocular race. For shame.
Yeah, it's been a somber couple chapters.
Yes, it's been hard times on the chuckle front, that's all I'm saying. Anyway, I think that's all for now. We've been two absolute bookends. Please follow our social medias, and we'll see you next time. Well, we'll be reading chapter 26. Goodbye.
See ya.